Hey, grab your seats. So great to have you in church this morning. My name is Bronson, along with my wife Gabby and the pastor here at Melbourne West. And who has come this morning expectant to have an encounter with Jesus? Now, I pray that every time you come to church, you don't just come to hear from man, you don't just come to sing some songs, but you come to encounter Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says there is no other name that is higher than the name of Jesus. So no matter what you're going through in your life, maybe you've got a situation, a circumstance, maybe there's health that you need, maybe Jesus over your circumstances, and watch the great things that he can do in your life. Do we believe that today and this morning? If you believe it, give me an amen. Thank you, Jesus. We are in week 3 of our Fresh Air series, and it's a series looking on authority. And so week 1, our lead pastor, Ross Abraham, kicked that off, looking at authority in our lives. Last week, I talked about authority in the home and, you know, husbands loving their wives, wives submitting to their husbands. If you missed that message, jump online and check it out because you want to get the whole message. You don't want to just get the sound bites, okay? And today, we're going to look at authority in the church. It's going to be a great message. I'm looking forward to that. And at the moment, we are in 18 days of prayer and fasting. Today's day 14. How are we going? Some people are going good. Some people are not going so great. Some people can't wait for it to end. Hey, I want to encourage you. Let's finish strong. If you haven't been involved yet, you can still jump on board. There's 4 days to go. Let's finish strong, believing that God can do something great in our lives, and that'll be awesome. Also, I just want to add to what Gabby said, Wednesday night, our all-in night. That's open to everyone. It's open to all people, and especially if you volunteer or serve in this church, I really want to encourage you to come along. Pastor Ross is going to be sharing and hope and where he wants Elevation to be in 2018. So if you want to know where we're heading as a church this year, come along, hear it from Ross, the boss himself, and it's going to be a powerful evening. 7:30, we're going to pray. 8 o'clock, Ross speaks, live streaming to all locations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. We can come into your presence to worship you. I thank you, God. You had a plan for us. I thank you, Jesus. You said yes to that plan. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You indwell and live with us. So, God, I pray as I share this morning on a topic that can be controversial, I pray, God, that we would have ears to hear, open hearts, and Jesus, that you would speak into our lives and do something in our hearts. So we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Authority in the church. Two words that perhaps when you hear them, church, authority. Authority and church. Perhaps when you hear those words, you shudder a little bit or you get a little bit fearful about what's going to be spoken about, yeah? We've all heard the stories, the horror stories of abuses, maybe you've experienced them, that have occurred in the church, spiritual, emotional, sexual, mental abuses that have occurred. We've all heard about or read of leaders that convince their people to do these crazy things. We've heard of or encountered churches that want to control every aspect of their congregation's life under the guise of authority in the church. We've seen the abuse of money, sex, and power in a place that should be an example of the sacrificial love that Jesus had for us, but instead gets corrupted for man's own greed and pleasures, and we see this happen in church. In addition to that, we live in a culture that is anti-authority and postmodern, and a culture that says, hey, don't tell me what to do. I've got my own concept of truth. I am the ultimate authority in my life. And because of all of these various reasons, there is a trend for there to be a pushback against the church when it talks on church and authority. And so much of that pushback against pastoral authority is not because that authority is unbiblical. It is very biblical, as we're going to see today, but because the way that authority has been wielded has been unbiblical. Do you get me? Pastoral authority is biblical, but the way it has been enacted has been unbiblical. 1 Peter 5. Turn, if you don't, it'll be on the screen behind me. Peter says this, "As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly." Any parents here this morning? Watch over your children willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you can get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. The church, the pastor, the church leader is to care for his or her flock, to be eager to serve. It's to serve. It's not about something the church can do for me. It's how I can serve the church. We're to lead by good example. What's the example of my life? What's the character of my life? To lead by example. They are not to lord it over the people. Lord it over. Lord it over means to misuse a position of authority for your own personal gain, for status, for power, and for ego. So as we come to today's main verse, I want to encourage us, let's lean in, let's not push back on this topic that can sometimes be a little controversial, to see what it is that God says in the Bible and what it is that He might be saying to your life this morning. Our main passage of Scripture is Hebrews 13, 17. We're going to go through this verse a number of times today. Obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so that they can do this with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. The letter to the Hebrews is almost at an end. Chapter 3, the letter to the Hebrews. And the person who writes it, we believe it might be Paul, he is saying in verses 18 and 19, if you read it, to pray for him because he's not with the Hebrew church at the moment. He's away. And he's saying, hey, pray that if God wills, one day we will come back to the church. One day, if God wills, I have an opportunity to be with you as your spiritual father. But he says, in finishing this chapter 13, he says, there is a possibility that I may not come back. So then who is going to lead you? Who will be your spiritual leaders? And he says to them, the local leaders in the church. And in this final chapter, the writer refers to the leader of the church three times. In Hebrews 13, 7, remember those who lead you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Hebrews 13, 24, greet all of your leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. And then in Hebrews 13, 17, obey your leaders and submit to them. So from these verses and other New Testament verses, we can see it is very biblical for there to be church leaders in the local church. There is an emerging trend for people to gather together and say there is no leader. We're all just responsible to each other. But that is not biblical. The Bible says that there are people, church. Let's get a little deeper into this verse this morning. You want to do that? You want to dig a little bit deeper this morning? Hebrews 13, 17. I'm gonna go through this passage of Scripture a few times, and at certain points, I'm going to ask you to read it back to me, okay? So Hebrews, and I think it's green. Yeah, it's green on the screen. Obey your leaders and submit to them, since they, what? Keep watch over your souls. Let's say it again. What? Keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, so they can do this with joy and not with grief. What for? For that would be unprofitable for you. One more time. For that would be unprofitable for you. If you're taking notes, take this down. Some notes, some thoughts that I have on church leadership. One, church leadership watches over souls. The verse states that the aim of church leadership is to watch over the souls of those in the church. It does this in a way that should be of profit or benefit to the people. Not profit or benefit to the leader, profit or benefit to the people. Growing up, I can remember having many discussions with my dad about my attitudes, my thoughts, my behaviors and actions that I did. And it usually involved Willie the Whale. Now, if you don't know who Willie the Whale is, that was the name that my parents gave to the... I didn't like these conversations with my dad, and I was definitely no fan of Willie the Whale. You know, I was very happy for him to stay in the corner. I didn't want to talk to him very often. Unfortunately, I did speak to him a little bit. And so I was not a big fan of these conversations with my dad. But later, as I got a bit older a bit more mature, had a bit more life experiences, I realized that what my dad was doing at those times, he was watching over my soul. And there will be things that I will say from this platform to this congregation. There will be things that I say to a group of people. There will be times where I will speak to you individually and say something, and you're not going to like what I have to say. In fact, something inside you might push back. But what you need to realize is at those times, I am saying that because I am watching over your soul. I am watching over your soul. I want the best for you. I want God to do something great in your life. See, a pastor that is vigilant, awake, and watchful will have these conversations with his flock and the people in his church. In turn, listening to what is being said to you, to me, as I listen to my pastors and to God, listening in turn will be what? Beneficial and profitable. Someone speaks something into your life, you've taken it on board, and wow, that has been of such benefit and profit to my life. That is what is occurring in those times. See, church leadership isn't about speaking engagements, love offerings. It's not about having a car park with your name on it, though I'm thinking about it. But yeah, it's not about a big church, a seat up front. It's not about being this superstar that everyone calls you pastor and you're high and mighty and there's this sort of this awe and reverence about you. No, it's not about that. Church leadership is primarily about the salvation of souls, primarily about the care of people's souls. And salvation is not a one-time event. If you have recently given your life to Jesus, I want to let you know that salvation is not an event in time. Salvation is a day-by-day decision that we make as Christians to say, God, I admit I need a Savior. I lay down my life. I take up your cross in surrender to your plans for my life. It is a lifelong battle against temptation and unbelief. Temptation and unbelief, temptation and attitudes, temptation and discouragement. The job of leaders of this church is to help you to persevere in your faith and to remain saved in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Teach, live, and admonish those confessing Christians. So there are times where you will be taught, there are times we will do life, and there are times where there will be admonishment that will become, where we will be asked to not turn away from God in Hebrews 10:39, but to the faithful ones so your souls may be saved. Number one, church leadership watches over souls. Hey, it's a little bit hot in here this morning, isn't it? Apologize, the air is not working, but it's still a great day to be in God's presence. And today, if you want to get a little bit rowdy, if you want to just get a bit fired up and stirred up, you can say, hey, preach it, Bronson. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, I don't care if it's hot. It's hot because God's here. And it's better than being somewhere else where it's really, really hot. So one, church leadership watches over souls. Here's a question. Question maybe you've thought about once or twice. Who watches over the watchers? Who's watching over the watchers? Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, since they keep watch over your souls as those, what? Who will give an account. We can say it louder. Who what? Who will give an account. Number two, church leadership will give an account. I will give an account over how I lead this church and how I lead and pastor. In recent years, there have been a number of different scandals in the financial and banking industry and events that have occurred where financial advisors and traders and managers and executives have been making decisions that have really been based around lining their own pockets and commissions and bonuses for themselves and have been very speculative and quite risky, place significant risk on the funds that they've managed for their clients. And what has happened is that the ASIC and different bodies have come in and started investigations to investigate what's been happening and have brought charges against companies, et cetera, et cetera. And in a lot of these cases, what they find is that there was a behavior, a culture, where there was no accountability for some of the actions that people were taking. No accountability. And in my role as a pastor, practically, there are a couple of boards that I am accountable to, and I want to lay them out for you this morning so you can know what they are. Firstly, every location pastor of Elevation, of which there are seven, reports to a directional leadership team. We call it the DLT. Every one of us reports to a DLT, and we are accountable to them financially, spiritually, emotionally to these leaders. And so if there ever comes a time in my life where there is something out of whack, where I start teaching straight, your pay should go into my bank account, things like this, if I was to ever start abusing my wife or my children, if there was a time where I might start drinking excessively or have some addiction, or I was to be sexually impure, the DLT would step in and stop that. And they are committed to the success of our location of the church. They are committed to the success of my marriage and my children. They are committed to the success of seeing me live a life that is honoring God. And so they would step in. Also, at any time, you are able to go and speak to the DLT if you have any concerns. If you're going to do that, just let me know so I can tee them up that you're a crazy person. Don't listen to them. They're wacko, you know, wacky tabacky people. So you can do that. If you want to know who they are Pastor Ross Abraham, Pastor Kathy Abraham, Pastor Miles Paludan, and Sue Ellen Holmes. So any one of those four people you can speak to. Pastor Miles will be here next Sunday. You can speak to him if you have any concerns and problems. Above them, above the DLT of Elevation, sits an operation board within INC. INC is International Network of Churches. It is a group of about 2,000 churches throughout the world, of which Elevation Church is part of. And so that operations board, the DLT reports to them. Above the INC, the operation board reports to the executive. So there are multiple levels, DLT, operations board, executive. At no time can I make financial decisions to buy or sell property. At no time can I make decisions without their involvement. I can't invest finance. I can't stray doctrinally from certain beliefs that we have as a movement. At no time I can do that. If that was to occur at any time, the operation board or the executive members will keep me accountable to them and to what God has said in the Bible. And so there is a process within INC where complaints can be raised against pastors. Again, if you do that, let me know. I'll tee them up. Where you can raise a complaint against pastors, and there is a process to resolve any complaints and issues that may occur. Above and beyond all these controls and measures of man, I am also accountable to God. At the end of the day, He is the ultimate authority, and I will be held accountable and give an account to God one day as to how I led this church. James 3:1, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. I didn't read that part. I didn't see that part when I signed up for this. We'll be judged more strictly. See, if you believe God has called you to teach, there will be a higher gift to God as to how you carried your call, as to how you used your call, and there will be a greater weight of responsibility on your life as you do that. So one, church leadership watches over souls. Two, church leadership will give an account. And three, church leadership is joyful. Joyful. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them since they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Man, that was said with so much joy. Come on, let's do it better. So they can do this with joy. One more time. So they can do this with joy. So they can do this with joy. I want to read a little story to you. Once a teacher and his young assistant arrived at a village where the people were angry and quarrelsome. At their request, the villagers' request, he gave them his blessings and asked them to remain together in that village forever. In the next village, they met joyful people who were cooperating with one another and caring for each other. The teacher blessed them too, but asked them to leave the village and spread out across the country. The puzzled assistant asked the teacher why he had given such different advice. The teacher smiled. Those angry, argumentative people will only spread their unhappiness wherever they go. So I asked them to stay where they are. But it is better for the caring people, the joyful people, to spread out, taking their happiness to be joyful. The profitableness of spiritual leadership in a church and for a pastor is through the leader's joy. Through the leader's joy. And there is profound implications from this. It means that a leader who is indifferent to his joy in God is indifferent to the people he leads in his church. Let me say that again. It means that a leader who is indifferent to his joy in God is also indifferent to the people he leads and to their benefit. Do you see that today? That's why I always encourage you, if you serve or volunteer, I'm always encouraging us. Let's be joyful people. Let's be encouraging people. Let's have the light and the love and the power of God and Jesus shining and showing through our bodies, through our language, through our communications, through how we live, through what we do. See, if you are a leader and you do your work begrudgingly with complaining, with groaning, with an attitude, with sadness, this will be unprofitable for those you lead. If you want to be of benefit to those you lead, be joyful. That's what the writer here says in Hebrew. My loving you depends on my delighting in what I do. Joy in leadership is not dependent on me finding joy in you. It is me finding joy in God and then leading you out of that joy for your benefit. And so in Romans 15:13 says this, Paul, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I want to be around something or someone who has joy in their life. I want to be around someone where joy is overflowing. I want to be around someone where the joy of God is so evident in their life. And my goal, and it should be yours too, that in my own life, there would be an overflowing, that I would be so full of joy that it spills over into other people's lives. Isn't that what we're called to? Isn't that what Jesus said? There will be an overflowing that comes out of our own lives. So if you lead or serve at Elevation, ensure you always bring the joy of God into what you do. You just never know who you might meet one Sunday. You just never know who you might see on a Wednesday, who you might see at work, or who you might be traveling with. You just never know how the joy that you carry might so change their life for encounter with God. And your joy, so one, church leadership watches over souls. Two, will give an account. Three, is joyful. Given all that, how do we respond to authority in the church? So given all that, what leadership does, how it should do its leadership, how do we respond to authority in the church? If the kids could come, that'd be great. Hebrews 13:17 again, obey your leaders and submit to them. That's our response. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Obey is a very broad term, and it means to be persuaded by, it means to trust, it means to rely on, and typically it refers to doing something. So typically it refers to our response to a command to do something or a request to do something. That's what obey refers to. Then we have the word submit, and it is a narrow word, and it means to make room for by retiring from a seat, to yield to. And submit is typically refers to an attitude to have. So obey is an action to do, whereas submit is an action to have. Can you see the difference? One is a doing, another is an attitude. See, I can obey but have an attitude inside me that is very, very, very unsubmissive, that is very angry, that is very, you know, inside me not wanting to do what I'm doing. But we're to obey and to everything else I've said, we could paraphrase this verse to mean something like this. Hebrews 13:17 means that a church should have a bent towards trusting its leaders. You should have a disposition to be supportive in your attitudes and actions towards their goals and directions. You should want to imitate their faith, and you should have a happy inclination to comply with their instructions. When a church has leadership that is watchful, accountable, and is joyful, and has a body that is trusting, supportive, imitating, and happy to comply, it is a beautiful thing. It is the church of God in action. It is just lovely to see all believing for the same thing, all in agreement behind one cause, all believing to see souls saved or heading in the same place, all prayerful, faith-filled for God to do something. God, I know you're going to do something amazing in our midst as we get together. See, where there is unity and agreement, the Bible says what? God commands the blessing. It doesn't say a blessing, it says the blessing. Wow, well, there's unity and agreement. When we come together, church leadership leading for the benefit of the people, people in the church in agreement, following after God, God commands the blessing. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Dear brothers in the Lord's work, they work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. So obey and submit to what? Godly church leadership. Obey and submit to what? Godly, this is so very, very important. Godly church leadership. Obeying and submitting doesn't mean blindly following leaders who are abusive, who are manipulative, who are angry, who are seeking personal gain, are legalistic or authoritarian. No, that's not what godly church leadership is. No, a godly church leader should be able to stand before their church family and with a clear conscience echo these words that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul says, "And you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." What amazing words that Paul says there. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Not because I'm this amazing leader, but because I am endeavoring to imitate Christ. The example, the model that Christ set. And in my own life, I try to do that as much as possible. Imitate Christ. See, this is what we call moral authority. Moral authority, the credibility you have earned by walking your talk. It's the relationship between what you claim and what time shows you to really be. It's the relationship between what you say and what you do. It's the relationship between what you expect of others and what you expect of yourself. See, church, godly church leadership works in both spiritual authority, watchfulness, accountability, joyfulness, and also moral authority, alignment between their personal convictions and how they live their life and how their behaviors are. So my prayer is that this is the authority in which I am leading this church as your pastor. And that in such an environment that you would be able to obey and submit to God and to what I believe God might be saying to me. See, authority in the church isn't about perfection from its leaders or from those in the church. I'm not a perfect person. I'll let you know, you may be shocked to learn that today, to hear that coming from my mouth. I'm not a perfect person. I'm going to hazard a guess that maybe you're not either. But see, authority in the church isn't about perfection, but it's about leadership that can be respected, that lives a life they are calling others to, that lives the hard parts of repentance, sacrifice, and humility. Repentance for what I've done, sacrifice, laying down my life to serve God and you, and humility, it is a life that is in submission. And so authority in the church is godly leadership and obedience, submission to that leadership. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, this topic. Today, I pray that we've seen some of your wisdom, Jesus. I thank you that we would leave this place knowing what it is that we are to obey and submit.